talking.
Welcome to the cinema. No mobile phones. No talking. Or toddlers. And please, be considerate to your fellow moviegoers. No masturbating. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
This is tricky. They make it look so easy, don't they? I got a question for you, Clinton. You don't mind if I call you Clinton, do you? I feel like I know you so well. The way we have it, on the night of the murders, you made a short speech as the bulldozer buried the kids in the dam. How does Lester tell him? Mississippi would be proud of you. You've struck a blow for the white man. Is that what you said, Clinton? Is that what you said? Now, it must have been you, because Clayton Townley and Ray Stuckey, they were too smart to be there. You're too stupid to think anybody remember what you had to say. But old Lester, he's got a good memory. I'm sorry. I haven't done this for a long time. Did you make a speech the night that you beat up your wife, Clinton? Huh? Did you? Did you strike a blow for the white man that night? Huh? Get out of here. You got a stupid smile, you know that, pal? Can you see it? Huh? Come on! You smile when the bulldozer ran over the black kid's body? Get here! Get here! Did you smile when the bodies were covered over? Did you? Get up here. Come on. Get up. Did you smile that same stupid smile? Huh? Did you? You. Did you smile, pal? Did you smile? Huh? Get up. Make no mistake about it, Deputy. I'll cut your fucking head clear off and not give a shit how it reads in the report sheet.
We come to this place.
Is this true?
For the Cinemaxers.
Yeah.
We come to talk Radio 1.
I'm Radio 1.
To laugh.
I don't like laughter.
To cry. To listen to podcasts like this one.
Live from Los Angeles. Can you believe that, Jim? We're actually live. We're live tonight.
Because we are so fucking bored.
God, I'm bored.
All of us. That indescribable feeling we get. When we have nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And we go somewhere we've never been before. Not just entertained, but somehow reborn together. Dazzling audio.
You stupid fucking cunt.
Through headphones and speakers.
You idiot.
Sound that we can all feel. Somehow our ears feel good in a place like this. Our heroes feel like the best parts of us. And stories feel perfect and powerful.
You can all go fuck yourselves.
Because here,
cunt.
When Maximilian Mastrangelo and Jennifer Miller decide to show up, they are the Cinemaxers on Talk Radio 1. They make movies better.
Talk Radio 1.
Maximilian A. Mastrangelo. Jennifer A. Miller.
right, here we are, yeah?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. 7 minutes past the hour, Jen, on this 11th. Is today the 11th? Today's the 11th, yeah?
Yeah.
It's the 11th. All right, on the 11th of March of the year 2025, correct? Pretty abrupt ending there. Yeah, that's exciting, right? Or our first show since we moved the clock. I'm like, do the clocks move? Since we don't manually have to do it anymore.
Right.
Do the clock, we lost an hour, correct? So if that's usually wake up at 6 a.m., I'm waking up at 7 a.m., right? Correct? Or?
The other way around. Wait.
No.
Waking up. Yeah, at 7.
Yeah. Ooh, on
but
Sunday.
You're losing an hour.
Yeah, when I woke up, I'm like, oh my God, like I didn't start my walk till like 8 o'clock. You know, it's like 10:30, 11. I'm like, the days have gone, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sucks.
It does suck. At some point, we got to stop with this nonsense. Is the preference to have it like this or the other way? They keep saying that
most people like it like this.
Like this, right? So it gets dark later, correct? Or?
Yeah.
It gets dark later. All right, folks. Here we are live from Los Angeles. My name is Maximilian A. Mastrangelo, Jennifer Miller. We're the Cinemaxers. We are here Tuesday nights, sometimes at 7, sometimes at 8, right? Or you just kind of have to check in throughout the day on Talk Radio 1, right? Or?
Yeah, be surprised.
We like to keep you surprised. We like to keep you on the edge. I want everyone a little on, you know, like Vince Vaughn had that line in Swingers to Jon Favreau. They're both aspiring actors. He's like, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie. I want you to be the guy in the rated R movie. The guy that we're kind of not sure about, or, you know, we don't know where he stands, right? Or,
oh, yeah.
All right. What is our email? Cinemaxers@talkradio1. We actually have quite a bit of email. And now I know, Jen, I know that the email is all bullshit because there's an email from you saying that the podcast sucks. Now, that's outrageous. That's how we know that this is all a big fraud. There's a lot of carnival barkers out there like Al was saying. Oh, my God. Did you hear them last week? Or I know it's very upsetting to you when they just talk about that person for the whole hour. But Al was fucking just he's out of his mind. I'm worried about him as I used to worry about Keith Olbermann. Or like, I just kind of worry about his mental health. Because he was a carnival barker, and it was amazing. But anyway, yeah, we're either here at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, either 10 or 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The email is cinemaxers@talkradio1. We're on Facebook, Instagram. You know that you can subscribe to the podcast wherever it is that you go to download these things. And we're on live on Talk Radio 1. And tonight's show will be posted tomorrow on the website. And you have access to it that way as well. Apologies, we weren't here last week. As I think everyone knows, I'm unemployed. But I did have 2 days on a television show last Monday and Tuesday. Jen, I would love to be on a fly in the wall watching you on one of these sets. It is the most boring. Okay, so it was a scene. I won't give the show. It's one of these cop procedural shows that's on television. So on Monday, there's a scene it's like a redneck bar, and there's a scuffle inside between some actors and the leads and the villains, and then there's some gunfire, and everyone runs out, and some cars speed away, and someone goes and chases someone. We did that all frickin' day. So on Monday, we did the exterior, and then on Tuesday, we did the interior of the bar at a different bar somewhere in the valley. For half the day, I walked around a pool table pretending to play pool because you can't make any sound or anything, and just kind of fake mouth talk and kind of move around to some fake music that's playing. That was like half the day. And the other half was on a dance floor dancing to some redneck band that can't really play, or they're just pantomiming everything, over and over. I know I'm complaining. I mean, it's not like I was digging a ditch or anything, or it's just fun to complain. But anyway, and I actually, on Tuesday, we didn't wrap till like 7 o'clock at night. So I never would have made it here. They did like a 12-hour day. I never would have made it here on time to do the shower. So that's why we weren't here. All right. Max is unemployed. He's got to take any of these little gigs that come his way. All right. Big, big show. We will debrief on the Oscars, briefly. Oh my God. Gene Hackman, passed away. I don't know if this might be an interesting argument with Justin here, and I don't know where he would stand. I think that I could argue that he could be maybe the best American actor that ever lived, or maybe. That's where I put Gene Hackman.
Well, let's get Justin on.
Get Justin on the debate. I think this might be one where Justin would be on the same page with us, sir. Gene, I remember seeing him when I was 6 years old. My parents took me to see Superman, and he played Lex Luthor. That was my introduction to Gene Hackman I was five when Star Wars came out in 1976. I think Superman came out a year later, or at the end of 1975, or 77, excuse me. So I would have been 5 years old. I think that was it. Little did I know that this was like a grand thespian who had done The French Connection, these amazing films. But my first exposure was to Superman. And I can honestly say that he is an actor that I was always aware from the age of five, I was always aware that he was someone in the movies. I don't think at that age I knew who Pacino was, who De Niro was, but I knew I knew who Gene Hackman was. Even if I would see him, be like, "That's Lex Luthor." He was great. Opened up the clip with the one of the last scenes in Mississippi Burning, Alan Parker's film about the African American kids that were killed in Mississippi in 1960. I believe it was in 1962. Gene Hackman and Willem Dafoe play the FBI agents that are there to investigate the crime. That was one of the latter scenes when Gene attacks one of the, I believe it's Brad Dourif who plays the sheriff of the town. And finally, they can't find justice doing it like the procedural way. And Willem Dafoe, who's kind of the straight-laced FBI guy, finally lets Hackman, who's like the seasoned FBI agent, to kind of handle things his own way, which might be a little unconventional. And anyone who's seen it recognizes that scene in the barbershop when he interrogates Brad Dourif for the last time. So I do want to... What is your go-to Gene Hackman, Jenner? Because, man, this guy did...
I don't think I have one.
What about The Birdcage? I don't know why I thought about The Birdcage when I thought of this. Something that you might... I know you don't like comedies, or...
Yeah.
No, you don't...
Maybe. Sure.
Maybe The Birdcage, where he actually shows up in drag. I mean, Gene was kind of game for... You know, you talk about The Birdcage, very generous performance by Robin Williams, I thought, when I saw that. Or usually he's the center of attention, and I thought he was very generous in letting Nathan Lane kind of do all the funny stuff, or...
I think that's a good observation.
Right? Usually Robin, it's like if he's on screen, nobody has a chance, or, you know, which could be pretty obnoxious, maybe 60% of the time. But I thought in this, he knew where his part was, and he's like, I'm going to let this other guy kind of shine, or, you know. All right. I don't really want to get into much how it's so sad how Gene Hackman passed away. Him and his wife, they found them both dead a couple of weeks ago. I'd rather we just kind of celebrate his life than to get into how he died but he really was a grand, hate to say grand thespian, or such a freaking good actor. And I have a couple of other clips and some clips of him. He won two Oscars, the first one for playing Popeye Doyle in The French Connection, and the second one for playing the evil sheriff in Unforgiven opposite Clint Eastwood. I've played the clip when he says, I'll see you in hell, William Money. I don't know why I'm laughing. All right. Jen, I got to ask you. I mean, sometimes, man, you really nail it out of the park. I love Storm Boy that we're here to talk about tonight, and I get so excited to come and do this show with you when it's a film that I think that no one has seen. I mean, we've never heard of it, or I haven't, or
yeah.
When we can really like recommend just something that, man, a lot of the stuff is pretty depressing that's out there, you know, even Anora. I'm like, it's kind of depressing if she's a Russian prostitute, or it seems rare that we kind of get something that makes you feel good, right? Or
yeah, I was hoping that it would be very soothing, and I think that it fulfilled
It did. And the danger with these, and when you show, remember when you brought it up 2 or 3 weeks ago? I think it was like 3 weeks ago, because we held off on it for the Oscar show. And the poster's the boy hugging the pelican, and I'm like, oh no. Or the danger with these films is that they can be pretty manipulative, and yeah. more often than not, something terrible happens to the animal at the end, right? Or,
yeah.
And it's like, do I want to sit? Is it worth sitting through this to get to that? I'd say that 95% of these films are like that. Or, and we'll get into what happens with this one. I don't think it's a shock. It'd be a shock to anyone that the animal passes away at the end. Or, but man, this one for me was worth it. Or,
yeah, I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was great. I texted you. I want to move to that island where it was set.
It's in, well, it must be in Australia somewhere, right? Or
yeah, but I've never seen Australia look that nice.
No, it's great. It's beautifully shot, and I love. I don't know what he did. I think they tried to cancel him like 4 or 5 years ago. Or, but I really do love Jeffrey Rush, or who plays the older version of the boy. Or
yeah,
I think he's one. He's just one of those guys, like Gene Hackman a little bit, or who is almost seems like they're incapable. The camera's incapable of catching them in a lie when they're on screen. Or
yeah,
he's great. He is great. And I love the little boy. I like the little boy's father. I like the, was it his granddaughter later? The girl?
Yeah, that was his granddaughter.
His granddaughter. It's great. All right. We'll get to that. I'll make sure that we have a good kind of 25 minutes to talk about that. Or, because man, it's one of those that I love when we can when we can recommend something that we're both so excited about, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not just, oh, it's good. Like we got to recommend it because like, oh, it's good. We recommend, but this one, it's like, man, check this out, or, you know, check it out. All right. Let me go to my news stories. We're not going to do any mail. Because we're
not gonna do any mail, but we have so many mails.
We have so much mail. All right, so legendary actor Gene Hackman, he passed away. He was 95 years old. He had retired to his home in the state of New Mexico. They found him and his wife. I'm just gonna say unresponsive, but man, what a legacy that this guy left behind. He had a career that stretched from the 60s. Through to the early 2000s. I think he retired in 2005, including, you know, memorable roles such as Lex Luthor. I mentioned it in Richard Donner's Superman, all of the sequels, Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation. I mean, these are classic films. Coach Norman Dale in Hoosiers. Have you seen Hoosiers, Jenner? It's a basketball film.
So.
Takes place like in the 50s. That's the film for next week. Okay. That's the one that, I wanted to do a Gene Hackman, but I didn't want to do one of these dark. I didn't want to sit through Mississippi
That's
Burning.
Good, you're like,
no, this is one. This is going to make you feel good, you know. And I'm excited that you haven't seen it, man. It makes me very excited. I mentioned Senator Keeley and Mike Nichols, The Birdcage, Mississippi Burning. I Never Sang for My Father. Bonnie and Clyde. This guy's been around. The Poseidon Adventure. Many think is a classic. Uncommon Valor. Young Frankenstein, which he's hilarious. Narrow Margin, Class Action, No Way Out, Postcards from the Edge. He was in The Firm with Will, with Tom Cruise, Enemy of the State with Will Smith. He's worked with everyone. All right, let me run a quick little tribute to Gene. All right, here we go.
Did you always want to be an actor?
Well, I did secretly. I didn't want to tell anybody because I was ashamed. I thought maybe that was something that lightweights did.
I suppose there is some kind of, there is some anger in me that I'm able to touch on that gives us maybe a sense of danger or something at times. But I'm not a tough guy, certainly. It's a way of working that I have.
All right, Popeye's here. Get your hands on your heads. Get off the bar and get on the wall.
Will you stop it?
Gene Hackman in Unforgiven.
Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman.
The winner is Mr. Gene Hackman.
The scene that I don't know if you guys saw it in here, in Bonnie and Clyde, when Warren and I were sitting in the motel room. And...
Woo-hoo! We're going to have ourselves a time, boy!
We surely are.
Woo!
What are we going to do?
I think maybe that kind of scene in that film was probably one of the defining moments for me, that I felt I could be big and I could be boisterous, or I could be do things in my own time.
I think the experience I got in the Marine Corps is probably what pushed me into acting.
The Marine Corps pushed into acting.
Yeah, well, I worked for the Armed Forces Radio Service in the Marine Corps, finally in China, and it got me more and more interested always. I always wanted to be an actor, but having had that experience kind of solidified it for me.
You don't even care where the other missile's headed, do you?
Certainly I do. I know exactly where it's headed. Hackensack, New Jersey.
Lex, my mother lives in Hackensack.
All right, so there you have it. All right, so folks, if you haven't seen Mississippi Burning, it's a Gene Hackman must. It's a great film from 1988. That was the year that Rain Man kind of was the critical favorite and the box office favorite. And now looking back, I'm like, am I thinking more about Rain Man these days or Mississippi? Or which one is the more important film? And I think it'd go to Mississippi Burning. All right, Jen, so next week, Hoosiers from 1986. Okay, and this is available everywhere. All right. It is many hail it as the best sports drama ever made. Or that's pretty high praise, right? Dennis Hopper's in the film, and Barbara Hershey, whom I love, before she got her lips done. Then all of a sudden.
Good.
Remember the next year? Lips. Yeah, the next year she was in Beaches. Everyone's like, who is like one of the? It's like you don't look like Barbara Hershey anymore. All right, let's do a little news and Oscar recap, and then we'll get into Stormboyer. All right, Michelle Trachtenberg also passed away. I think this was the day before they announced Gene's death. She passed away at the age of 39. I am not sure why, and I kind of don't want to focus on that anyway. Do you know who she is, Jen? She was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She played Harriet in Harriet the Spy.
I love Harriet the Spy.
Right, with Rosie O'Donnell, right?
Yeah, I watch that sometimes. I like it.
I've never seen it. Maybe one day we'll have to do it, huh? To celebrate Michelle?
Yeah, it's cute. I mean, it is a kid's movie, but I like it.
Did you see, I always get that one confused with the one that Julia Roberts' niece was in, or Eric's daughter, the Nancy Drew movie that she did, or
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I always get those confused. But anyway, I guess later Michelle was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I think I might have given up on that before she joined the cast. But anyway, very sad, and at a very young age. All right. How do you feel, Jen, that Zendaya or Zendaya?
I don't know.
Let's go with Zendaya, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I like her. Did you ever see Challengers?
No, I still have to see
it. You got to see that. Yeah, and it's streaming. When you see it, let me know and we'll talk about it. Because it's great. Okay. She's great in it. And she's great on Euphoria. They're filming the third season now. I think she won an Emmy for both of the last two seasons. But she is going to be playing Shrek's daughter in Shrek 5. Do we need a Shrek 5? We don't.
You know, people love Shrek
They
so
freaking
much.
Love Shrek, huh? Can you imagine... So the, you know, Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, this franchise probably made them billionaires, right? I'd say three times over. Yeah. Can you imagine the Eddie must, they probably get checks every day, you know? But Zen,
it's pretty fun. Like, I don't really like to get my mail because, you know, there's not really anything interesting in the mail. But if you were getting a check every day,
can you imagine? So I bet Eddie's way. You know, and as rich as you are, there's always you can always have more, right? Or I'd love to picture just Eddie like waiting at the mail when the mail guy like pulls up and just hands him that check, or you know.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so funny. In fact, one of the ADs on this show last week said that he worked on that last Beverly Hills Cop movie with Eddie, and he said that Eddie's only there like 30% of the time. They're like, there's a double. They're like, and he looks just like him. And most of what you're seeing, unless Eddie's talking, is like a body double. I kind of like that, huh? I like that kind of. Eddie's in his trailer watching basketball. Oh my goodness. Okay. The Razzies, that are kind of the opposite of the Oscars. They name the worst films of the year. Not a shocker. Where are the, worst picture was given to Madame Webb, which is pretty awful. Or that's with Dakota Johnson, where she's like a female Spider-Man or terrible. Jerry Seinfeld won for that stupid Netflix film he made about the creation of the Pop-Tart, or I think it's Unfrosted. That's before the tarts were frosted, you know?
Okay.
Oh my God, Jerry's like, why do you put frost on those Pop-Tarts? Dakota Johnson winning for her role as Madame Webb. John Voight won worst supporting actor for Megalopolis. I kind of like that, or I mean, because John Voight's crazy, you know? I could imagine him showing up to accept this. Amy Schumer won for Worst Supporting Actress for Unfrosted. Worst Director, Francis Ford Coppola. Oh, he was honored. I saw, like, he had a press screening, and he's like, I'm honored because I'm doing things that no one has the balls to do. So, yeah, he's honored. Worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel. I feel those are a lot of different things to lump into one category, right? Or
I think that's like every movie.
I know, really. A joke or folly adieu. That's outrageous, sir.
That's ridiculous. They didn't even see it.
Ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous, sir. All right. What are your thoughts on... You watched the Oscars, right? We were texting back and forth. I thought it was pretty good. Other than that...
I hated it so much.
Really?
This was my worst one that I can remember, actually.
I mean, the films weren't that exciting, but I thought Conan O'Brien was pretty funny. The only thing I hated was that dumb James Bond. I don't know why we're paying tribute to James Bond. Who cares? Or, you know, I mean,
That was ridiculous.
He hasn't gone anywhere, you know? And now that Amazon controls the James, like, who fucking cares? Or, fuck James Bond. But what was tedious to you about it? Or
I thought it was so boring.
It's long. It was long, too. It started at 4 and it ended at 7:30.
I'm fine with it being long. Yeah. I'm in for a long night.
Yeah.
When I'm watching the Oscars, like it. Yeah. I do not support like those years where they try to like, oh, well, we're only going to give away half the awards, you know, whatever. Or
we're going to have everyone stand on stage. And if you win, you like, step forward.
I don't support that. I 100% support.
Right.
Like, hey, go on as long as you want.
And have your moment. Yeah. And if you don't like to watch, turn it off or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so what? It goes on long.
Yeah, let it go until midnight.
So, like, I support that. That's not a problem for me.
Right.
But this one, I was so, so bored.
Who was the... Did they give out some special... Did they give Oprah, like, an award? Or was there anything...
That was for Quincy Jones.
Oh, for Quincy Jones, yeah. And I love that they featured like a song from The Wiz, which he didn't even write. And The Wiz was like a big bomb when it came out. I just thought it was weird, you know?
I mean, people like it, so it's fine if it's grown to become a favorite.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about Quincy Jones. All right, you never saw Anora, right? The Anora win surprised me here.
I never saw it. I'll watch it at some point.
Yeah, you got to see it at some point. And the young woman who won the Oscar, Mickey Madison.
Yeah, Mikey.
She's very good at it. I don't want to take anything away from her. But as we were edging towards that award, I really thought it was going to be Demi Moore's moment, you know?
I know. She probably thought that too.
Maybe. I sometimes feel when it's someone like that, they always want to keep them the underdog or... But the problem with that is, like, what other opportunities will she have? Or, you know, But that's the heartbreak when they don't get it. Or like, I know if Meryl Streep doesn't win, you know, Meryl Streep's going to has 10 other scripts in front of her, you know?
Yeah.
She'd be nominated. So that's kind of the heartbreaker when someone like Mikey Madison, yeah, she has her whole career ahead of her. And as far as I was surprised by the Sean Baker win, the best director for Anora. I prefer all of his other films over Anora. I prefer Tangerine, Red Rocket, The Florida Project. I think those are all better films. Anora's fine. It's a good film, but I kind of miss how it captured, I don't know, the imagination or the heart of the Academy. It really is kind of a more serious version of Pretty Woman, you know?
Yeah.
I think that the controversies hurt Emilia Perez, but it did win. Yeah. Zoe Saldana won, correct?
Yeah.
We weren't surprised by the, I don't think anyone was surprised by the Adrian Brody win, right?
Were you following the post-Oscars controversies?
What, did he go and kiss Halle Berry or something? Because he did that when he won his first Oscar 20 years ago, or?
No, it was like resurfaced videos from when he was on SNL or something.
And what? Like being like anti-Semitic or something?
I don't know. You have to look for them.
All right, I'll look for it. But anyway, good for him, right? Or who won? What were the other kind of the other big upsets? I didn't think there were both of us called a real pain, Kieran Culkin. I thought Robert Downey Jr. was great when he gave it to him. Or he's like, you need to try. You're not as irreverent as I am. Like, cut it out. I kind of like that. Or Robert Downey Jr. thinks that he's the only one who can kind of be a little off, a little irreverent, or at award shows.
Liked him. He was not on the stage for very long, but I was taken by
Robert Downey. He's great. Well, it was also the first award, you know. The best supporting actor is.
That was my best. That was my favorite moment.
Well, at least your favorite moment.
It was all downhill from there.
Was right at the top. All right. Well, I'm sorry you didn't like it. I thought Conan O'Brien was hilarious. I mean, for the most part, I didn't think there was a lot of clutter. Again, except for that stupid James Bond thing on what the fuck they were doing. All right. Are you going to see that live action Snow White movie? There's a lot of controversy because I guess tweets.
What is the controversy?
The controversy is that Rachel Zegler, who played Maria in West Side Story, I think she's made some pro-Palestine. It's always these the Israel-Palestine conflict. And Gal Gadot is made some Israeli-like comments. So Disney is scaling back the premiere. They're going to just kind of put the film out there. I think the dwarfs look weirder. They're CGI, right?
Oh, I haven't seen anything
it's
about
really
it.
It's really weird.
So I don't know.
And what's his name is in it? The guy who played Cyrano? Or it can't be that offensive if he agrees to be a Peter Dinklage, which we love, right?
Yeah.
We love a Peter Dinklage. They must have offered him a check that he just could not turn down. I do not imagine Peter Dinklage in frickin' playing a dwarf in frickin' let's see. Oh, you know what? Maybe he's not in it. I'm sorry. Peter Dinklage spoke out about the movie's portrayal of
That's
little people
offensive.
Perpetuating negative stereotypes. Okay. Literally, no offense to anything, but I was sort of taken aback, he said on Mark Maron's podcast. They were very proud to cast a Latino actress as Snow White, but you're still telling the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Take a step back and look at what you're doing there. I agree with him, right?
Yeah.
What do we need this for? Enough with these live action. Just let the animated movie speak for itself, and it's a product of its time, or it was made in the frickin' 40s or something, right? Or
30s.
Even early. What? It's actually the first animated film, isn't it?
I know. Isn't it like 1936 or something?
That's crazy. You know, I remember seeing it. Disney would re-release these a lot in the 70s, early 80s. I remember the scene, well, I was terrified of the witch, and that scene where she's in the forest and the trees are like coming alive it's so scary. Yeah.
The, not the current version, but the one before that, I think of the ride at Disneyland.
Yes.
I legitimately thought some parts of that, even as an adult and like I thought they were scary.
Oh, yeah, when the witch. Oh, I was terrified when I went on that, or when my parents first. I think I was 5 when my parents took me to Disneyland.
But, like, even as an adult, I think it was scary. Like, I know, I'm not scared. Like, oh, I can't go on, I'm too scared. But, it is scary.
If we're a little restless, imagine, like, a 4-year-old. Well, when you're going through the dungeon and there's skulls, like, on the wall. And then when she opens the door and tries to hand you the apple, you know?
Yeah, and you're so close to her.
Yeah, it's scary. Yeah, it's
a good... You're, a foot away from her.
It's a good dark ride. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Oh, I've been watching the Alec Baldwin reality show. Or I'm addicted to that, man. I don't know if I believe any of it. Like, I don't believe that's his house in the Hamptons. I don't believe it's his apartment. I don't believe that they would put those things on television from their private lives. Or I think it's all fake. It's fascinating, him chasing these 7 kids. Or they're all under the age. No, I think the oldest daughter might be 12 or 13. But all the rest, there's no one over the age of 7. And he's, like, holding babies and loading them into cars and...
And they have, like, a big van? How do they get these babies around?
It's like a Range Rover or something. Or, you know, it's not like a Sprinter or anything.
They all have to be in car seats?
Yeah.
Sitting all these car seats?
It takes, like, 2 cars or, you know? If some of the kids are old enough to be in, like, the boosters or... But there's a little baby. And sometimes they forget about, like, the little baby will just be kind of crawling around.
They leave the baby at home.
It's like Home Alone. It's fucking bizarre, but I'm fascinated by him. And even though I don't believe that any of this is real, I told there's a scene where they all go to get the kids' haircuts, and he's just walking down, like, Madison Avenue. Like, I don't believe that Alec Baldwin can just walk down the street in New York or holding these little kids' hands or walking to the haircut place. And he gets a haircut, too, you know, with the kids.
The boys have long hair?
They all – no. No, no, no. The oldest one kind of has the – Alec always has the kind of longer hair in the front, and it's shaved, like, on the sides. It's very bizarre, and he looks very strange. His wife is very strange, it's just weirder. But I got to tell you, things are pretty depressing around here lately with the, you know, being laid off. But by noon on Monday, I'm like, the Baldwin's, like, dropped yet? They put that on. All right. What else do we want to talk about? Nicole Kidman is teasing us that she's taking a break in 2025
after a
chaotic year. Look at that. She filmed last year alone. Kidman starred in Amazon Prime's limited series Expats, Netflix's murder mystery miniseries The Perfect Couple, season 2 of Lioness, the rom-com A Family Affair, the animated musical Spellbound, and her role in Baby Girl. That's a lot, right, in a year? But you know what?
Yeah.
I don't want her to take a break. Because like she said, she always says she thinks about everyone that she's employing. If she takes
a break. Who is she to take a break?
Yeah, think about all those people that won't be working, you know? She cannot take a break, ever. Ever. So we need maybe I'll email her agent or something. It's ridiculous. All right. Do you think you could bring yourself to watch the documentary on Hulu? It was just released today about that cinematographer that... I'm not laughing. And in the background of this whole Baldwin thing is this thing where he's on trial for manslaughter, you know? How fun. Like, he's playing with babies and then he's in the courtroom, you know, being tried for involuntary manslaughter. But there's a documentary called Last Take Rust, which was the name of the film and the story of Helena Hutchins, which was the cinematographer that was accidentally shot on set. Is this something that you think you could sit through, or 90 minutes of this?
No.
I'm interested.
Is it interesting?
It just came out today. Today's the 11th, right? Yeah, released on March 11th, 2022. Maybe I'll watch it and I'll give you the heads up, yeah?
Okay.
All right. At the box office, not a surprise. I saw the film. I'll talk more about it next week. There isn't time tonight. Mickey 17, which is the new film from Bong Joon-ho, who won an Oscar... I think the year that the pandemic broke, a movie called Parasite, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but this is a sci-fi film. It stars Robert Pattinson. Have you seen the previews, Jen, where he's like this guy, every time he dies, he gets like kind of a like they bring him back to life as a different. So like Mickey 17, it's the 17th time that he has like been rebirthed.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, that's the premise. I'll talk next week. But it opened to a sluggish, 19 million. Yeah. I feel like this is a film that the trailers that people are going to be so confused by, or, and then when they see it, they're going to be like, oh my God, like this is terrible. Or, kind of in the way they feel about Joker, Folie à Deux, the Joker sequel. But anyway, we won't get into any more, about that. All right. So next week, I'll talk about Mikey 17 because I've got some clips. We got the trailer and man, I really want to spend these last 20 minutes on Storm Boy, which is an Australian drama film, a family film. And I think that's fair, right? I think this is something that you can watch as a family. And it's not, I feel the same way about Far Away Home with Anna Paquin about her helping those geese migrate. Because it's a family film, sometimes people think that it's a film that will only appeal to children, that you have to watch with children. Or I don't agree. Family to me is I could sit and watch this with my mom and dad and my grandmother or something, right? Or,
yeah, I think that's the purpose of it, right?
Correct. I don't think it's a film for children. It might even be. Sometimes I even think that these, I would not show it to a child, but I think that sometimes even these are maybe could be too much for a kid. Yeah.
I really like these types of family movies because a lot of times you just want to like zone out. You don't need to get all amped up.
What do you mean? What do you mean, like amped up, or so? Like meaning, like, if you're like your family's like, hey, we're
like
gonna
put on some like horror movie or something,
or Mississippi like, Burning,
so,
you know?
Yeah,
you're like,
so,
oh my
like,
god,
emotion. They're so like,
there's murder, yeah, and the like, civil rights, up. And where you're you know, you're mentally like exhausted.
And you just want to like chill.
You want it. It does have that. Oh my god! And this, it didn't feel. It didn't feel long. All right. So anyway, let's give a little more details. All right. It was, adapted. The adaptation was directed, by Sean Seat, a filmmaker I do not know. It stars Jeffrey Rush and Jai Courtney. Jeffrey Rush, of course, won an Oscar for Shine, a wonderful actor. He was amazing as the Marquis de Sa in Quills. Or God, that's a good movie with Kate Winslet and, Joaquin Phoenix. Jai Courtney is in this film. Now, what I thought was interesting was that this novel was previously adapted in 1976. Is that available? I kind of like want to watch that. Or
might be. And I don't think it's a novel. I think it's like a picture book for children. Like, it's a children's book.
Okay. Based on the book, Storm Boy follows a young boy growing up on a largely uninhabited coastline of southern Australia. He rescues three orphan pelicans and forms a close bond with them. God, I love this movie so much. And I got to tell you, it's just what I needed from where I am, like mentally right now. I don't need Mississippi exactly. Burning. I need Storm Boy, you know?
See, this is what I was hoping for.
Yeah, Jen, it really, really was great. Apparently it came out in 2019. I can't believe, I mean, we're pretty savvy with our films. There was another. Oh, well, we'll talk about this. And maybe we'll screen this further down the line. But there was another movie that was talked about a little bit during the award that showed up on people's lists, like on podcasts, called Janet Planet. Have you heard of that? Or
no?
And a coworker recommended it. He's like, "Oh, you should watch Janet Planet." Or anyway, maybe we'll look into Janet Planet. Or but anyway, this opened in April of 2019 here in the U.S. I don't remember this playing at like the AMC or anything, or maybe it was one that just kind of went past me, but it's beautifully acted by the adults. It's beautifully acted by the children. I think it earns all of its beats, or it's not one of those. I remember years ago, there was this movie called My Dog Skip. And at the end, like Skip gets shot or like the dog dies people were like walking out, like people were furious, like there should have been like a, think, you know, a warning or is this, I felt that it earned, I just felt that the moments were earned. And my God, you know, I didn't imagine, I guess, you know, usually geese, or not geese, these pelicans don't let you get close, but how big they are, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, it's almost as tall as the boy. You know, I think the boy seemed like the boy was 11 or 12, maybe something like that. Or in this bird, I mean, when he's hugging that bird, or it's just, you know, if you don't have a smile on your face, you're dead inside, right? Or dead inside. Yeah.
When you watch movies on Amazon,
yeah,
on your like laptop or whatever.
Well, I never do that, but you didn't do Hoopla. You watched it. It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
Okay, it's on Amazon. Okay.
When you watch movies that way, they have little facts on the side that if you roll your mouse over it, it's like pop-up video. Like,
really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and this one said that they had to like change like the way they were filming in the moment because of the pelicans, like because of like what they were,
like it would come to the camera or something, or.
Yeah, like they had to, like, I don't know, like make decisions because of the pelicans' behavior.
Yeah.
And I thought, because like a lot of times you work with animals or whatever, they're like mostly trained or whatever, and they don't really, they're not that surprising in what they do, but
right.
I don't know how much training you could do with a pelican.
With a pelican. And look, I'm not a. They all looked like real birds, or maybe there was a shot at the end when one of them's flying away or something that maybe could have been animated. I don't know. Or,
well, I think they were real.
But in fact, when they're interacting with people, I never for a minute thought that it was like a, I mean, they couldn't have afforded that anyway, but like a CGI pelican or, this is
I want pelicans to save us.
Wouldn't that be, what a world that would be, right? Or.
Yeah.
What a world.
That's what we need.
Oh God, I love this man. I can't recommend it anymore. The kind of journey that this boy takes, and I like the back and forth to the adult who's telling the story, or sometimes I think that's, you know, that's a pretty stereotypical contrivance, or here's the older guy, like reflecting on his youth, telling like the granddaughter. But man, with this, I didn't think that this struck wrong in any moment. Where is our clip? All right. The film is Storm Boy. You can stream this on Prime. And if you have the library app, it's on Hoopla. Here we go.
I once believed in things. Things that were special to me.
Grandpa? Tell me about growing up on the beach.
It was called 90 Mile Beach. I was cut off from the world. Then one day the world came to me.
Look!
They're too young. There's nothing we can do.
They won't die.
Can't eat proper fish. They're too small.
I've got an idea.
You keep feeding them.
I'll grow up to be big and strong.
It's amazing.
He's a good boy. You're a lucky man.
Good job, Mr. Frog.
All right, Mr. Percival, go find him.
I miss them. I know he misses them too.
Sometimes you gotta do what you know is right. Even if they're gonna hate you for it. They're gonna have to go back soon. Wild things need to be free.
There'll be a storm soon.
God, it makes me want to just go back and watch it again after the shower. All right, I have a comment, and I don't want anyone listening to take it the wrong way, and especially if you're a parent. I don't want my comment to feel like that I'm saying anyone's a bad parent. Of course not. It's not. But I'm a firm believer, and this is a movie that kind of, I'm right. Not that I'm right, but that it seems to agree with me, maybe, or is that if you can't, like, sometimes, you know, you live in an apartment, you can't have a dog, or you can't have, there are reasons why people don't have pets, or, and it's fine. But I say that never underestimate the power of a relationship between a child and an animal, you know?
I was going to actually ask you if you were considering adopting a pelican.
You know, Jan, that's a scary, if Max lived alone or and wasn't married. I mean, I could still have, remember I had a pig. I mean, there was a whole menagerie.
That's
going
why
on,
I,
right?
was, or, you, I was get thinking, a pelican. Like, if you were back in those days, would you be,
adopting a pelican,
adoption.
Yeah, there was a peacock on my street once. Just like, did you know that it was like jumping up on people's roofs and things? Or
there's a neighborhood, I don't remember where it is in LA somewhere, that is like overrun with peacocks, and they have to like cover their cars because they go crazy.
They're huge when he opens up his, you know, it's amazing. No, but it's a very powerful relationship in this film. And I think of all of the different, the dogs that I had growing up, the hamsters, the man, and I had a very, maybe because I was an introverted kid, I don't know, or, and you know, you only get that unconditional love, really. You know, these animals love you no matter what, or, all right, let me run a clip. This is the director, talking about his film. I didn't think I could find anything on this, or, but man, you know, leave it to old YouTube, or. Okay, who was the filmmaker's name is Sean Seat. I don't even know if he's, you can't even click his name to like see what else he's done. This might be the only thing he's done. But you know what?
He didn't need to do anything else.
That's right, right? I mean, what, fuck it, man.
The
you made Storm Boy. That's it. Where do you go from there? It's like De Niro didn't have to do anything else after Raging Bull, right? What's he supposed to do? Or he's in fucking Rocky and Bullwinkle. You know, that is the best script that came across De Niro's desk here. All right. Here is my Sean Seat. All right. Here's Storm Boy.
We went in with the philosophy that, you know, that there will be pelicans. They will do what pelicans do. And they will do so many more things than we can imagine. And that will be gold. Hi, my name's Sean Seat, and I'm the director of Storm Boy. Storm Boy is a film based on Colin Tilley's great novella, the same name, which he wrote in 1963. The story of a young boy is living with his father, and he raises three pelicans. And it's as simple as that, but it's much more than that. You know, it's about friendship, it's about the love between a father and a son, and it's about grief and loss, and it's kind of about life.
It worked.
You keep feeding them.
I'll grow up to be big and strong.
Early on in the production, we talked about what we could do now that we couldn't do in 76. You know, and one of the things we talk about, well, we've got, you know, advances in animatronics, advances in CGI. But I felt fairly early on that it was kind of contrary to the spirit of this film if we created Disney-esque sort of birds. So I pushed to do as much as we could, if not all, with live birds. So we found five orphaned pelicans in the chick stage who were abandoned, and raised them over the 6 months and trained them to be comfortable with humans. And there's certain tricks that are needed, whether they were able to do exactly those tricks or do part of it. And I had to kind of think about how I was going to shoot that, you know, put it together like a jigsaw puzzle of moves, you know, to create those moments.
Good job, Mr. Frog!
That was one of those mad gold moments, you know, with that pelican dance. Because the scene was scripted as Fingerman sits there and he talks to Storm Boy, the pelicans listen, then he gets up, does the dance, and every time we started, in the one shot, we started doing it, the pelicans just started wandering off. They just weren't interested at all. And, you know, and the sun was going down, oh, I'm having, I don't know, what am I going to do? So I just, you know, it's on the radio, just forget about the dialogue, just go straight into the dance. And you can just see it on the film now. He starts doing the dance, and as soon as he started doing the dance, the pelican just turned around. And they were focused on him. And it was like they'd read the script. That was magic. We were very lucky to find Finn Little to play the lead role in Storm Boy. In many ways, he embodies the character. He has real connection with his own emotions. He is sensitive, but he's robust. In a lot of ways, I didn't do much to mould who he was. I tend to try to work with who the actors are and what they bring to a role. And I feel that's a strong way to collaborate, as opposed to treating actors like they're puppets. I have been working with cinematographer Bruce Young for a long time now. You know, our careers are almost parallel. He really understands that it's a storytelling process and not just capturing beautiful images. We were shooting in the Coorong, and we had ever-changing weather. I mean, we had hail one day, and then there was brilliant sunshine, you know, a few minutes later. We sometimes had to switch scenes to a scene that wasn't even scheduled for that day, because in the story, we did need some stormy stuff. So when it stormed, we went with it. The crew had to be able to be fast enough to pull up the dolly, move those lights, move this flexi board here, and they worked really hard to make sure we got what we needed. Because we wanted to maximise the available time we had in the actual location, we decided to build in the studio the interior of the shack. It just afforded me a lot more time to be able to work with the actors and to not be so harried about, you know, what was going on outside, the sun coming in this window and not that window. A lot of the really intimate scenes, we worked it around so that some that didn't have to be outdoors, we put them in the studio, and it was like, you know, it just was much more controlled and beautiful. I worked with Alan John, whose work I really admire. I felt his sensibility was perfect for the film. We decided fairly early on that it would be an orchestral score. Partly, I think, just because we wanted to have a sense of grandeur. I wanted it to be a kind of almost a seamless transition between the layering of the audio soundtrack and then the score. So Alan listened to lots of bird recordings and just translated that to his music. I feel it's captured it quite well. So Storm Boy opens on the 17th of January, and I'm super excited by it. I can't wait.
Jen, I have a prediction. I don't think that I will see another film. I'm going to give it just, I'm going to give a 6-month window that I enjoy as much as I enjoyed Storm Boy. And remember, we see, well, I'm not going to say that you see everything. I think you have better taste than I do, but I see everything. And if people are like, Max doesn't, we just run out of time, and we'll talk about what we want to talk about. But I see 3-4 movies. I see them all, and I'll get to them eventually here. But I don't know if there will be anything that has made me feel as good as this film.
That's so great.
And that we can put this positivity out into the world, right?
Yes.
It's fantastic. You know, I was looking around as that was playing the 77 version. It's not streaming anywhere. I wonder if it's, I didn't look on YouTube, but on Just Watch, it says it's not available anywhere. But there's a little with the pelican. I mean, it's a real movie, you know?
Was it made in Australia or?
That is a good question. Yeah, Storm Boy is a 1976 Australian drama film based on the book by Colin Thiel of the same name, about a lonely boy and his pet pelicans living in a coastal wilderness with his reclusive father. It was made during the new wave of Australian cinema from the 70s. I think you'd throw filmmakers in there like George Miller, like Peter Weir. It was financed by the Australian Film Commission. I really would like to see this at some time. Sometimes these are on YouTube. Remember that horrible one we watched where you said it even like half the screen was like chopped off, or I think it was Salsa. I mean, we watched some fucking scary during those pandemic years when remember we would do three movies a week, or we can barely sit through one, but man,
we didn't have anything to do.
I know, we didn't have anything to do, right? But I would love to see this, just to see what someone else's take was on this material, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, folks, if you're looking for something, you don't need to go to the multiplexer. I'm telling you, stay home, have a family night, movie screening, whatever night, Storm Boy from 2019. If you're an Amazon Prime person, it's on Prime. It's on the library app. You don't have to pay for those, but it's really worth your time. And yeah, I think we're living kind of in a dark time, or for me, it's a dark time. This, you can kind of take a break and you can escape someplace else. Like you were saying, God, I'd love to live on that beach, or, you know, I'd love to swim in that ocean with that boy. Or it just.
Yes, and guess what? You kind of can, because remember, I discovered this movie by way of a video game where it's such a basic game. All you do is run around this island and it looks just like it. It is so beautiful.
Wait. Hold on. And I'm sorry if this slipped by me. I think you mentioned the video, but you found out about this film through the video game?
Yeah, I was playing this video game called Storm Boy that's based on this book and everything. Like, yeah.
Where would you put, I'm sorry, did I ask you on, like, on your Mac or on a phone or what kind of game? Or?
I was playing it on my iPad, but I think it's available in.
Okay.
Different formats.
So there's a Storm Boy game, or so you were just kind of searching, just kind of browsing games, and you came across this?
Yeah, essentially. And it was in a category called, like, I don't know, like peaceful, gorgeous games.
But
or
how
something.
Did you?
And I was like, yes.
How did you discover that? Then there was a book and there were movies, though.
Because I just looked because it was so beautiful, and I was like, "What? I don't know. I just
let me look if this came from something.
It up, like, yeah, see okay. what else is going on.
It seems odd that that this type of game would just be created from no sources at all, or you know.
I mean, maybe it's just seriously so beautiful. Like this game, you are literally just running around this island. The game aspect of it is pretty minimal.
Right.
So like, if you want to play like a hardcore game, that's like, this is not it. But yeah. If honestly, you just want to run around this beautiful island and feel peaceful and look at be friends with a pelican, like
it's more it's more experiential. Yeah. You're not like, I got to get 10 points or I got to get the next.
No, it's not like that.
It's more about immersing yourself in the world.
Exactly.
All right, folks. So listen, we're not fucking around or Storm Boy. It really is. It really is that good. I can't give it a higher praise. And
I think this might be your number one movie that you saw this year.
What if we were sitting here next January? And that turns out, I mean, don't write, it could be, right? It could be here.
Yeah.
Because, man, I tell you, man, when I see these trailers, Kim and I were talking, it's like we're seeing the same fucking trailers over and over again. And maybe a few are like, I could sit through that if I had to, you know?
Yeah.
Not even like I need to see that. All right, Jen, anything else you feel that you need to, our listeners need to know tonight? Or
no.
Right, I think we covered it all. What a recommendation we've left. We've left a gift tonight, right?
Exactly.
We've left a gift. All right, folks. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Again, my apologies if I'm not here or if Jen is not here. We usually have a pretty good. There's usually a pretty good reason behind it. So I would like to ask people to just extend their grace, right? Or
yes.
Extend your grace, storm boy it, all right, and assume goodwill is what I'll say. Yeah?
Yep.
All right, good. All right. My name is Maximilian A. Mastrangelo, Jennifer Miller. We're here live over the almighty Talk Radio 1, Tuesday nights, either 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 10 o'clock or 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our email is cinemaxers@talkradio1. Email, I'd love to get emails about films that people want us to consider talking about her instead of the podcast sucks and all this other bullshit, right?
Podcast sucks. There's 80 million other podcasts. This is one of those.
Probably even more than that, right? Or I mean, there's so many. Yeah, there. You don't need us. Trust me. All right. Our email, cinemaxers@talkradio1. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We're really everywhere that you get these things, that you download your favorite podcast. Hopefully we're one of them. And you know that we're always alive. We're always streaming here on Talk Radio 1. Any purchase that you're making on Amazon, on eBay, use those links on Talk Radio 1. It does help support all this programming. You know, this may all be free to you. Right. And it's free to us. Right. We perform for free. Correct. Right, Jen? let's say that
you're not getting paid.
Let's say that we're not waiting at the mailboxes like Eddie Murphy. Right. For our our Talk Radio 1 Cinemaxers residual checks. No. But Mark is paying so that you can all have this. I mean, he really is. He's the Santa Claus of today. Right. Or?
Yeah, he really is our modern-day Santa
Claus. He is our modern-day Santa Claus. Yeah, use those links and help. Let's keep this going for as long as we can. All right? Okay, Jen, next week, people watch along with us, 1988's Hoosiers. We've got Gene Hackman, Barbara Hershey, before The Fancy Lips, Dennis Hopper, directed by the great David Anspach. And I remember, I'll talk about it next week, but I remember seeing this in the theater at the Crown Valley 5 in Mission Viejo with my friend Chris Luzak. Chris, if you're listening, I remember us seeing Hoosiers in the tiniest house that they had. Or remember, it was the one on the end of the theater. We'll talk more next week. All right, Jen, I look forward to it. Can't wait. This is one that I'm excited. It's going to make you feel good. I promise. Okay?
All right.
I'm always serious, right? I'm like, hey, I'll warn you, you know, like the lady who got that my dog skipped, that the dog died. But this one will 100% make you feel good. Okay?
Fantastic.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Roll another blunt.